Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you. It is an amazing day. It's a day that you have brought to each one of us. You have called us, anointed us, placed us in this planet, in this place, for this time to do wonderful things. And I thank you, Father, that you've brought people here to YCF, Father. And I know that you have words, Father, that they have asked for, that they have desired. I thank you the words will come and pierce hearts, just explode in our life, cause a clearer direction on where we're to go. I thank you, Father, that the word changes us and that we're growing, and this service is for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we started a series. It's called Believe, and believe is a place where anything's possible. Key word, believe. Believe is a place where anything's possible. And really, that's what we want in your life. We want your life to be a place where anything's possible. Anybody want any of that? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you a few things that we can get into that road, that groove where believe is a place where anything's possible. Our foundation scripture that we go over every week is Mark 9:23. They'll pop it on the screen. You should probably already have it underlined because this is our third week on this. Mark 9:23. And in Mark 9:23, there's this desperate father that just goes right into Jesus' face. He goes right up to him because he's desperate. He has a son, and his son has a real big problem. And So the father, I'm ahead of myself. The father goes up to Jesus and says, "Can you help me? Can you heal my son?" All right, I'm thinking if you're going to Jesus, that's pretty good. Can you help me? Can you heal my son? And Jesus' answer, I just love his response. Okay, now, especially out of this translation, okay, and it says, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. Okay, ready? Anything's possible if a person believes. You all want to say that last part? Anything's possible if a person believes. Raise your hand if you're a person that believes. Anything's possible, and put your name in it, if I believe. Anything's possible, I believe. Now, the first part of that scripture, Jesus is saying, "Hey, man, I'm the Son of God. I can do anything." The second part is he's telling us we need to connect. And the way we connect so God can do anything is by believing, right? Anything's possible if I can believe. Anything's possible if I can believe. So there's a part that we play. God's telling you anything's possible. So we're going to talk about connecting and believing. And really the whole purpose of this, my desire, let me say desire, not purpose. My desire is that your believing level will come up a couple more notches. Like I'd like to see it hit the ceiling. But your believing will come up and hit the ceiling that you're believing all the promises that God has in the Bible for you. All right, your believing is going to raise up. Praise God. So today we're going to talk about the fact that God wants to rewrite your story. God wants to rewrite your story. Praise the Lord. Michelle's chuckling. I thought, oh, we're good. Now, when we talk about rewriting your story, God wants to, wherever you're at in your life, God wants to turn things around. God wants to rewrite your story. God wants to turn things around. And you might be here and you got some negative stuff going on. I want to tell you, God wants to turn it around. He wants to turn it around. He wants to rewrite your story. Some of you might say, "Well, Pastor D, if I could be honest with you, I'm in this mess because of me. I'm in this mess because of me." Anybody ever cause your own messes? Right? And you know, listen, it doesn't matter. Guys, this is why Jesus died. Doesn't matter. Okay? And maybe you just had life, you didn't make your mess. Just life came at you and knocked you over. It doesn't matter. I can tell you, any area in your life, God wants to come in and turn things around. He wants to rewrite your story. So, the big idea, the main idea, if you're taking notes for that, I want you to walk out of here understanding this lesson so clear. Ready? The big idea. It's really simple. God wants to rewrite your story. God wants to rewrite your story. God wants to rewrite your story. Now, I'm telling you, that's what he wants to do. And I am excited. I'm excited he wants to do that for me. And I look at some of you and I'm going, yes, baby, I am excited God wants to do. I'm only kidding. But God wants to rewrite stories of our life. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my age. But in the late 1960s, like 1967, Mattel makes toys. I don't know if they're still making toys. Okay. I'm probably going to find out because now I have a grandson and I can go to the toy store. Like Toys R Us. But back in 1967, Mattel came out with a game, but a toy, and it's called the Strange Change Machine. And they're going to it's a little fuzzy. Alrighty. That's okay. We're cool. Now, it was the coolest thing. Anybody ever have one of those? One. Okay. Actually, I didn't. It was my little brother's. Because I was like a little bit older, probably shouldn't have been playing, but it was the coolest thing. And what it is the dome part's an oven, all right? And then you get these time capsules. They're kind of little square discs. And you pop them in the oven, and they transform into creatures like aliens and robots and dinosaurs and stuff like that. So, you know, when nobody was around, it was just my little brother Patrick. He'd get this thing out. I'm like, oh. Play with you and stuff like that. So one time, and I didn't really play with it a lot, but I made one of these creatures like a robot, and when somehow I got the arm bent when I made it, I don't know what I did, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Patrick, I ruined it, and he's like, no problem. And what you do is you take the plastic robot and you stick it into the compressor chamber. And you put the crank on the side, and you turn it, and it makes it back into that little square, little plastic disc, the time capsule. And then you can throw it back in the heating dome, and you can have, you know, boop, just do fine. So, praise the Lord. And I was kind of laughing when I was thinking about it. Aside being a lot, I thought it was so cool, but it's probably not safe for a bunch of kids, little kids, right? So they don't make it anymore for obvious reasons. It's not cool. So Adam and I were talking, and you know, the new thing is you get one of those little things in a capsule and you stick it in water and it gets like 25 times bigger, but you can't burn yourself or what fun is it there, right? You know, really, really. Okay, praise God for making advancements. But how many of you, this is serious though, how many of you have parts in your life that are a little bent? That they're just, they're kind of broken or messed up, and this is the good news. God can straighten them out better than the strange change machine. God can fix things that are broken in our life. God can fix things that are a disaster in your life. Right? And the title is, God Wants to Rewrite Stories. Praise God. That's a good thing. So, open up to Isaiah 43. It's going to be our second scripture. Isaiah 43. Really cool. Isaiah 43, verse 18. How many of you know that God can rewrite the story of your life? How many of you have had God rewrite some stories in your life? Shoot, good. Praise God. Okay, this is a good rewrite story. Here we go. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Do not remember the things that have happened before. Do not think about the things of the past. You know, that's good advice when your whole life is blown up and it's been disaster, tough times, bad things and stuff. So that's a good advice there. Do not. All right. Now, verse 19. See, I will do a new thing. It will begin happening now. Will you not look about it? I will make a road in the wilderness and a river and rivers in the desert places. Guys, that is a promise to us. That is, even though it's Old Testament, it's a good thing. It's a promise to us, and that is a good promise. Now, God is always looking to rewrite your life, to fix things in your life. He's always looking to do good things in your life. He's not looking to do bad things in your life. How many of you know that? God is not looking. God doesn't do that. He's always looking to do good things in your life. And actually, when I read this, he wants to do new things. Shh. Just get real quiet. New things in your life. God wants to do some new things in your life. Ooh, that is good. Praise God. Alrighty. Now, when I look at that scripture, there's two pictures going on, right? There's two pictures. The road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Now, when I think about roads in the wilderness, this is the picture I get. It's Indiana Jones. Okay, he's running through the jungle because, you know, something's chasing him, or that big ball or whatever that thing is, you know. And he's trying to get through the jungle. There's brush and it's all surrounding him and he's just struggling. And he whips out his machete, right? Being dramatic. You guys should be laughing or something here. Okay. And he whips out his machete and he's making a road through the jungle. Praise God. How many of you have ever had a part of your life, a time in your life where you're just, you know, you're under the brush. It just seems like life has become overwhelming. Situations and you can't move. And this scripture is a promise to you that God wants to make a road for whatever you're in, whatever you're stuck in, whatever that you think, like, I'm ready for new. God's telling you that scripture is he wants to make a road for you to get through, because God wants to rewrite your story. God wants to turn things around. That's the love of God. Now, when I think of a picture of the desert, you know, it's that Sahara Desert and the, you know, up those big sand mounds and whatnot. Now, I've never had the pleasure, don't want to go to a desert. But I remember, this has got to be 15 years ago. How many of you know Christopher Alam? He's one of our missionaries that we support for, 30 years. And he ministers a lot in Africa. Oh, my gosh, where else? India now, Asia. He's just kind of all over. And actually South America, he's been doing some crusades over there. But he always would say, hey, YCF, if you want to go with me on a missions trip, you can send some people. And I'm like, I hate missions trips. Okay? I do. They're very uncomfortable. Half the time you can't take your hair dryer, you know, things like that. Okay, so I'm really big, and I always laugh, but I love giving them my money. I'll pray over, I'll give my money. But we had a bunch of people volunteer to go on a missions trips to Africa with Christopher. And I think there were about 8 of them or 10 of them. And one of them was Gary. And Gary came back and he tells us a hysterical story. He goes, man, we'd have the big crusades at night, but during the day we'd go from town to town and pray with people, tell them about the crusade. And he said, we would walk miles, because number one, they don't have a lot of cars where they were in the very rural areas. And if they did, they got potholes that would eat up your car. So it was probably safer on foot. And Gary said, you know, he realized he didn't have enough water. And he is walking, and he said, in 100 degrees. And he says, oh my gosh, I felt like I was dying of thirst. And that's the story I think about, because, you know, sometimes we can have parts of our life where we feel like we're dried up. This is mine. This is usually when I know, God, where are you? Has anybody ever had some dry places in your life when you go, God, where are you? God, did you not hear my cry? God, I feel so thirsty I could die. God, where are you? Okay? And this scripture says God will give rivers to your dry places. Guys, this is how much God loves you. You just have to know how big is his love, how endless is his love. He loves you so much that he wants to pour rivers into your life that will just change and make things good and new. Praise God. So, another scripture. Open up to Genesis 50. Genesis 50. Praise God. So when I think of God wanting, he loves me so much. God loves me so much. You can't tell me that he doesn't love me. It only took about 20 years for me to realize he just loves me. I struggled with that for a long time. But now I know God loves me. He loves me so much, and he only has good things for my life. And then he wants to fix my messes. That is an amazing revelation, because I've made some messes. And then I've been in some situations that somebody else made the mess for me. And I got stuck in it, okay? So just knowing how much God loves me and wants this. But sometimes this happens here, and I have to say this, none of us are perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And sometimes you might say, yeah, Pastor D, I know, I'm hearing you. God wants to rewrite my story. God wants to fix things. But Pastor D, I'm in this pickle because of stuff that I did. And again, I'm going to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And the thing that you have to know, Jesus hung on a cross, went to hell, and rose again. And the reason why he did that is so that he could rewrite your story. He just didn't do that just for the fun of it. There was nothing fun about it, guys. Jesus did that so he could rewrite your stories, all right? And this is the God that we serve. This is the God we serve. And I don't know how many times I'll encounter people and I'll just be talking with them and then say, hey, you know, you look like you're kind of having a hard day. Can I pray with you? And they'll go, yeah, but you don't know what I did. And I always go, yeah, but you don't know God. You don't know God. So you guys may have it settled. You guys may have it settled, but you'll encounter people that they'll pull back from letting God put a river through their desert. And you have to tell them and tell them and show them the word and show them the word and show them the word, okay, that God loves them, that this is his desire, is to help them through and rewrite some things in their life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So there's this really cool story in the Bible. Of course, I say every story is really cool, but there's this cool story in the Bible, and it's about Joseph. Okay, Joseph is a teenager in this story, and his brothers abduct him. Nice brothers, right? They abduct him, and he is sold into slavery. To slave traders, and the slave traders take him to Egypt where he's sold again. Now, the brothers don't know after they sold him to these slave traders that he's going to end up in Egypt. They don't know that part of the story. They didn't get their Bible yet, all right? So the slave traders take him to Egypt, but this is where God brings rivers into Joseph's life. But guys, listen to this. Joseph's, while Joseph's in Egypt, the first 13 years, he's in prison. He's a slave. And yet, God's going to bring rivers into his life. Actually, the Bible says that God brought favor into Joseph's life. But wait a minute. Joseph's, you know, either a slave or a prisoner. And listen, this is how big your God is. Doesn't matter what your mess is, God will get a river to you. If you believe. If you believe. Okay? So, he's in prison, and then we got to move on the story. We have this guy called Pharaoh. Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh has a dream, and it's very disturbing to him. So he's running around asking all his dream interpreters and sorcerers and wisdom guys, and nobody can figure out the dream. And somebody says, Pharaoh, I know this guy in prison. I know this guy in prison, and he interprets dreams. So you know what they do? They grab Joseph, clean him up, and put him before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, tells him his dream. The first part, he says, I had this dream, and I saw seven really fat, fat, fat cows. All right? And then they turned into seven emaciated, skinny cows. And Pharaoh's very upset about this. So he says, okay, you interpret dreams? Tell me what it means. So I'm sure Joseph had a quick silent prayer. And he goes, Pharaoh, this is simple. And he says this, and he tells him what those dreams mean. He says the seven cows talk about 7 years where they would be prosperous in Egypt. And Pharaoh's like, yay, that sounds wonderful. And then he says, but then there's going to come 7 years of drought and famine, and it's going to be really tough. And then Joseph turns to him and he says, now, Pharaoh, you know what I would do if I were you? And he says, you know, you should store up all during that 7 years. You should store up for Egypt and all the regions around it. You should store up and make sure you have plenty, plenty, plenty for the bad years, the drought years. And Pharaoh goes, man, I need this guy on my team. He needs to be running my country. And guess what? Joseph got promoted to be second in command of all of Egypt. Praise God. God brought a river to Joseph. From prison to running the country, okay? God rewrote his story, right? Did he rewrite his story? You better believe it. And listen, this is what you have to know. God wants to do that for you. God wants to rewrite stories in your life that you're going through. Amen? Amen. Some of you are so proud, well, Pastor Dave, I'm just doing so good. Well, take notes. You might need this later. Or better yet, you know somebody. Praise the Lord. Okay, rest of the story. Joseph's brothers come to Egypt, okay? Joseph's brothers come to Egypt, and they're coming to buy food and bring it back home. Now, when they show up, Joseph immediately recognizes them. After 13 years, he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him, all right? They don't recognize him. That must have been interesting, all right? After he recognizes them, he finally reveals who he is. I am Joseph, your brother. And there, they are scared, snotless. Because they're thinking, oh my gosh, we tried to kill this guy, our brother, and we're coming to him for food, and he's like the second most powerful person in Egypt, and they're scared. So you all at Genesis 50? Finally got you there. Genesis 50, we're going to read verse 20. Here's what Joseph says. Praise the Lord. As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. Does that sound like a river? Does that sound like a road? All right. God turned into good what you meant for evil, for he brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. Now, two things I noticed. Number one, Joseph didn't blame God. He didn't blame God for his wilderness, for his desert, did he? As a matter of fact, the only blame he did is God elevated me. That's all I see there. God elevated him. And he's really saying is, God rewrote my story. High five, God. God rewrote his story. That's all he's telling there. And he's telling his brothers, say, listen, you guys meant to harm me. You guys meant to kill me. You guys meant to just be mean, 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 mean. And then he goes, the big but. But God turned it around. But God turned it around. How many would like God to turn some things around in your life? Okay, anything's possible if you believe. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. So now, here's a sister scripture. I call it a sister scripture. It's found in the New Testament. It's very similar, and you probably all know it. Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. Yeah, this is a good one. Romans 8, 28. Praise the Lord. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Okay, those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Who's he talking about? Christians, believers, followers of Jesus, right? He's talking about followers. So then he says, if you're a follower, if you're a Christian, here's what God is doing. Here's what God is doing. He's working everything and anything out for good. Do you see that? Do you see that? And now listen, it doesn't say he's bringing bad things. It says he's working for good. He's working for good. God's working. Matter of fact, I like to say, listen, God's working behind the scenes for your good. Okay. Anything's possible if you believe. Anything's possible if you believe. I believe that God's working behind the scenes for good in my life. How about you? God's working behind the scenes. Alrighty. Next scripture, Mark 5. While you're flipping over there. So anything's possible if I believe. But here's what you and I have to do. You and I have a part to play. If and it should be, Lord, how can I receive the good things you're working? How can I pull those good things into my life that you're working? God's working good. How do I, that should be our question. How do I get those good things working in my life? Okay? Because, guys, sometimes God's working and we're repelling what he's trying to do. Pastor D, what do you do? What are you kidding me? I wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, we do it. By what we believe, by saying things that are not in the Word, by believing wrong things. When you're believing wrong things, you actually are repelling God from working in your life. Praise the Lord. And God is saying, I'm working to do good things in your life. So I came up with three things, real quick, three things that you and I can do so that God can rewrite our story. Three things that you and I can do so God can rewrite our story. Number one, in order for God to rewrite your story, the situation you're in, the problem you're having, in order for God to turn it around, number one, you're going to laugh. It's so simple. We have to believe that God wants to rewrite our story. You have to believe God wants to, all right? Think about this. Here's Jesus, and he's walking around Israel, and he's the sick are getting healed. Dead people are being raised from the dead. That's pretty big stuff, right? The blind eyes are being opened. Deaf people are receiving healing. Lepers are clean. And we can go on and on and on and tell all the things that Jesus did, right? So here's Jesus doing all of these things, and he hasn't been to his hometown yet. He's not been to his hometown yet. Now, how many people have good memories of your hometown? I do. Some of you are still living in your hometown, but I do. And every once in a while, I'll tell my kids these stories of growing up. Of course, I don't remember the good things, but I love my hometown. Okay, I haven't been there in years, but I love there. And this past week, Nancy, raise your hand. I was at Nancy's house, and Marcio and Nancy started telling us about their hometown. And Marcio said this. I had to write it down. And you had to see his face. He said this. He said, anyone who comes to my town never wants to leave. I thought, that man loves his hometown. Even though they're here. All right. We love Nancy. Okay. But you just heard this love that he has for his hometown. I love my hometown. Praise the Lord. But here's Jesus. All righty. Here's Jesus, and he is going to go to his hometown. He's probably excited that he's going to his hometown. He's excited he's going to his hometown because he could bring what he was doing all over Israel to his hometown. He wants to bring what he was doing all over Israel, right? Blind eyes open, deaf here, the dead are raised. He wants to go to his hometown. And he can bring these things, what God was doing through him. So he gets to town. He gets to town, and this is what they say. Oh, that's Joseph's son. Oh, he used to be a carpenter. Oh, you know. And then somebody else comes up and he goes, oh, yes, I had Jesus make me these amazing kitchen cabinets. You should hire him. He's a great carpenter, right? Do you know what they're doing when they say those words? This is Jesus, who in all the other towns, all through Israel, is doing these works of God. And what they're doing by those words is they're pushing him down. This is Jesus, and they're pushing him down. They're actually, this is how I thought about it. They're actually making him just Joe Normal, everyday human being, right? And then probably somebody comes up and he says, hey, I know your mother, Mary. Oh, and your brothers and your sisters, they grew up here. Again, what are they doing? They're putting them down, making them just humanized. How's that a good word? Humanized, okay? So, but listen, Jesus is in his hometown. All he wants to do is bring the good things he's done to his hometown. And then we have Mark. Here we go. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hand on a few sick folks and heal them. And he was amazed at their what? He was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching. Take a note, write this down. The cure for unbelief is teaching the Word of God. That's why I pound all the time. Read your Bible. Read the Bible every day. You get that Bible inside of you. That's why we teach on Sundays. That's why we have grow groups. We just, you know, oh my gosh, that's all I ever talk about is grow groups. Yeah, that's because I want to get the Word into you, teaching into you so you can grow. All right? So the cure for unbelief is teaching the Word, getting the Word inside of you. Okay, look at verse 5 again. It says, and because of their unbelief, Jesus couldn't. Jesus could not. Okay. I think the saddest thing for me as a pastor, is if God was looking at you and saying, I want to rewrite your story. I want to bring a river to you. I want to bring a road to you. But you don't believe. That would make me weep, okay? And we can stop the road, the rewriting, because we don't believe the promises, the Word of God that God has for our life. We can do it. We can do it, okay? By not believing the promises. All right, so not believing the promises. Well, maybe you're a new believer. Pastor D, where do I find these promises? Where do I find all of them? I've got a real issue in a relationship. I've got this thing going on in my finances. I've got some big things going on for my health. Pastor D, where do I find all these promises? I just have a Bible, and I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. Guys, it is so easy today. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know what I had to do? That big old concordance. I had to get that big old concordance. Anybody want one? I've got some. Okay. You know what we do today? Google. Listen. Google. New Testament scriptures on healing. Whip out your phone. Go ahead and do it. Come on. Can they hook up on Wi-Fi? Yeah, you can do it. Google. God, gee whiz. I gave you permission to get your phones out. Okay. Scott's young. Tell me. Google. Oh, well, you don't say that word. New Testament scriptures on healing. Oh, my God. Oh, he's got Siri. No wonder why she's slow. What does it say? Huh? A ton. A ton. Okay. 40. So I had fun. Google. I mean, you know, don't set everything. Just press that thing. Sorry about that. You know, scriptures on addiction, scriptures to be set free from addictions. 10 of them came up. And then they told you rehabs, Christian ones, okay? But listen, guys, you can find scriptures for anything. God has everything. You can find them, but you have to believe it. You have to believe. Ready? Anything's possible if I can believe. Anything's possible if I can believe. And I'm going to tell you, I'm believing. I got a list. I'm believing here. All right. Here's number two of the things that we need to do. I kind of pounded that one. Here we go. Number two. It's really important. We have to follow God's leading. If you were taking notes, we have to follow God's leading. We have to follow God's leading. That's the second thing we need to do. Okay, now here's what I noticed in my life. I'm not talking about Deb. not talking about you. Deb comes up to me and goes, Pastor D, you're talking about it. I said, No, I'm not. This is me. Typically, if I got myself in a problem, I've got a situation in my life that I don't like, that it's painful in my life, or it's hurting my heart in my life. I have a situation going on. I'll go Google, find these scriptures. No, I find the Word of God. I find the word of God, and then I'll pray. Father God, I thank you that you hear my heart. I thank you, Father, for your word that's true. I thank you, Father, that this word, blank, 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 is true in my life. And I thank you, you are having it work in my life. I thank you, I receive it in Jesus' name. Okay, simple prayer. This is after I go dig in my Bible. And you know what happens a lot of times? God, not all the time, but a lot of times, God will ask me to take some steps before he does. God will ask me to take some steps. So write this down. Take a step. Take a step. Okay? Now, I usually don't catch it right away. It's more like, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. Do a miracle, right? And God's going, I want to do this in your life, but I need you to take a step so you'll be where I can do what you want me to do. All right? I'm over here, and God's saying, D, I need you to take a step over here so I can do that in your life. All righty? Anybody? Now, I usually don't like that when he does that. Okay? But I'll give you some examples. Let's say you've had a terrible relationship and it's ended. It could be a divorce, it was terrible. And guess what happens? Your heart's hurt, right? It's kind of smushed to the ground. It's hurt. There's real pain in your life at that time. And you pray, God, I need you to heal my heart. And maybe, just maybe, some of you might not like this. Just say, Pastor D, it's pastor appreciation. You're going to love me anyway. Maybe God's going to say, I'm not looking at anybody. Maybe God's going to say, I would like you to go to a counselor. I want you to take a step and go to a counselor because you need a third-party person to speak into your life. You know, that's wonderful because sometimes you just need a real flesh, the body to help you through, okay? Or how about this? God, I want you to set me free. And God says, I want you to take a step and forgive that person. Oh, crud. I want you to forgive that person that hurt you. That means he wants you to take a step, right? Sometimes God asks you to take a step so then he'll get you to the place where he gets to rewrite your story. All righty? The other one, I was thinking, oh, this one, you'll love me. God, I need a better job. They just don't pay me what I'm worth. God, my finances are a mess. I need more finances in my life. And just maybe God's speaking to your heart and he says, I want you to start sowing into the kingdom, aka give money into the kingdom of God. Or maybe God will say, hey, I want you to start sowing extra into a ministry. All right? Sometimes God will ask you to take some steps. Everybody say, take some steps. Okay. Now, this happened in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter, it's either 4 or 5, I'll look in again. But this happened in the Bible with a guy by the name of Naaman. Anybody know the story of Naaman? All my kids that were in children's ministry should have your hand. I know you know that. Okay. It's one of our fun ones to act out. Okay. Naaman is the head of the Syrian army. He's not a little guy. He's a very important guy. He's the head of the Syrian army. And he's got a problem. He has leprosy. Now, it's just a few spots. It's not just terrible, terrible at this point. But the thing is, he knew he at that time had a sentence for death. He knew that this meant he had a sentence for death. So, I Googled. Google, how do you cure leprosy? Do that one later. They give you a couple of antibiotics for a year. And today... you're cured in a year. Not bananas. Praise God for the wisdom of God speaking to men and women to find these cures, okay? But listen, back in his time, he had leprosy. You were isolated, okay? your body would rot, just be disgusting, okay? And you're going to die, right? You're going to die. So he's in a bad place, but Naaman wants to get healed. Naaman wants to get healed. So, and he doesn't want to die, but he knows, I'm going to die. I'm going to die, and it's not going to be a pleasant death, and I'm going to die, and it's just going to be so terrible. But Naaman has a servant, and the servant says to his wife, anyway, but the servant says, guess what? There's this prophet in Israel. His name is Elijah, and he prays for people, and they get healed all the time. Guess what? I'd be on the first horse out of town, right? I'd be up hightailing it out of there. Well, he does. And there's a really good part of that story, but that's not the emphasis I want to get to. So where is he going to go? He's going to go to see Elijah, right? He goes to see Elijah, but this is what Elijah says to him. Naaman, I want you to go to the River Jordan, and I want you to dunk 7 times. 3, 4, it's my exercise for today. 5, 6, 7, deep knee bends. Okay. And he's going, are you kidding me? You see, Naaman's been to Israel, and he's seen the River Jordan. And it's not this big, beautiful, impressive thing. And he kind of makes, and he really is thinking about all the beautiful rivers he has in his hometown. And he storms off. He's upset with this guy. All righty. Now, turn over to, I don't know where I am. Turn that one away. 2 Kings 5. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 5:11. 2 Kings 5:11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought, I can just see him. He probably went hands going. I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand and over the spots and cure me of leprosy. Okay. Sometimes we believe, right? Sometimes we pray and we believe, but God is asking us to take a step. Take a step. And we're like, I don't know about you, but I always tell God how I want him to do things. And we're like, God, I want to snap, crackle, pop. I want the miracle here, now. Right? It's kind of what he was doing. All right? None of you ever do that. Just so humble. Just God, whatever you want to do. Okay. So let's go to verse 12. And Naaman says, are there not Abana and Pharpar? I love those rivers. I've been there all the time, yeah. Okay, are there not those rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and become clean? So he turned and went off in rage. Guys, what were the directions from Elijah? Just go to the river 7 times. 7 times. 7 times. Okay? Pretty simple, right? Okay, now listen to what his servants, they saw him ride off into the sunset storming. Okay, listen to what his servants say. Verse 13 and 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you to wash and be cleaned? So Naaman went down to the river. Excuse me, went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and it became clean like that of a young boy. Praise God. Guys, we believe, we find the promises we believe, and sometimes God's going to ask you to take some steps. All right? He's going to ask you to take some steps. And don't do, and you know, when you take those steps, there's a miracle, there's a healing. There's a rewrite your story. Praise God. Take some steps. So the first two ones, number one, things you have to do, believe. The other one is to follow God's leading. Here's the last one, number three. Real simple, number three. You know, the funny part, they're all simple, but you have to believe and do it. So I always say, just to cheer you on, they're simple. Number three, here we go. Write this down. Expect God's best. Expect God's best. Okay? We have to expect God's best. Best. God's best, okay? And sometimes we say, well, you know, I believe, but, you know, I just don't know, maybe, or I just don't believe it's going to be this great. Okay, so I have a story for you. I have some friends. They actually have four kids. They have two daughters that are about 16 months apart. And they were in junior high. So this whole story got started. We were talking about all our kids and how different they were. My kids, they're all different. There's no similarity. I tell you what, the way they respond to life, the way they talk, the way they dress, okay? They're just so different. They really are. So we were talking, and so my friend Joe tells this story. And he said it was a time when his daughters were in junior high. Because they're, you know, 16 months apart. They were junior high. And his wife and him decided, hey, let's start a new little tradition. We'll buy them an outfit for their birthday. We'll buy them an outfit for the birthday. And really what it was dad was going to go take them shopping for their birthday. So they were doing that. So my friend Joe takes his daughter, the one whose birthday is in May, and he takes her shopping. And her name is Michelle. And Michelle picks the least expensive things. She goes and least expensive shirt, the least expensive jeans. And he goes, honey, you know, you can pick some other things. You know, you don't have to pick the least. And she goes, oh, dad, I don't want to spend all your money. I have enough. Do I have any daughters like that? Maybe Cass. Probably Cassie. That's about the only one. The rest of y'all, shoo, baby. Yes, that would be Cassie. The others, okay. Okay, so that was Michelle's birthday, hers in May, and then in October, it's Kristen's birthday. And he's like, okay, get to take her. Oh, by the way, he went home, told his wife, and she goes, took her shopping, and she just wouldn't want to spend any money. So they're thinking about it. So here we are in October, he takes Kristen out shopping, and Kristen, this is really nice. She goes from department to department and picks expensive clothes, expensive shoes, expensive purses. And my friend Joe's like, man, I spent probably three times more on her than I did. And he felt really bad. So he and his wife were talking about this. Next year comes around. They want to do the birthday thing, buy their girls an outfit. Okay. By the way, Barbie dolls are done when you're junior high, so you got to put some money out. I used to love Barbie dolls. You just walk down the aisle. They're cheap. Well, they're probably more expensive, but anyway. So he's shopping, and he's taking Michelle, and Michelle's doing the same thing. She's picking the least expensive. And Joe sees this rack full of, I think it was blazers, and it's a suede one. And he goes, Michelle, this one's got your name on it. It's really nice. Oh, Dad, I don't want you to, you know, spend all that money. No, try that on. So he made her try it on, and she liked it, and he made her buy it. Okay, so that was in May, and then comes October, and he takes Kristen again, and, you know, she's just buying it up. All right, so why do I tell you this? We need to expect God's best, and sometimes we can be like that junior high Michelle. And we are, our level of expecting God to do things in your life is kind of down here. And I think you should all be like Kristen. Expect volumes. I like that word. Expect volumes. God to do volumes in your life. Okay. How many of you have done that? Not looking at anybody, but look over here. How many of you have done that? You'll say something to somebody and they'll say, oh, I have one of those. I'll give it to you. And you're like, I couldn't take that. You're not expecting God to bless you and to a level. So that used to be me. It used to be me, and I had to work at it. And now I'm like, thank you very much. May I pray for you? For more. Okay, no, all I can. Okay, so praise the Lord. All right, I have a story about the same situation in the Bible. It's about a widow woman. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3. This widow woman, her husband dies. That's why she's a widow. Duh, Pastor D. Okay. Her husband dies actually unexpectedly. Now, her husband was a prophet, and he's a part of Elijah's school of prophets. A whole bunch of, you know, people hanging out. So that's key. She's part of Elijah's school. And her husband dies. She has two sons. and she finds herself in debt. She finds herself in debt, and she's about ready to lose everything, including her two sons, right? So how many of you would agree? That's not a great place in life. Your husband died. They're going to take your kids, probably tossed out on the street. She's in a bad situation, right? Right? So she goes to Elijah, the prophet, the big guy. She goes to Elijah, and she tells him her whole story. She tells him the whole story. And this is what Elijah says. This is what Elijah says after she goes and tells him this. Well, what do you have? I would have been like, what do you mean, what do I have? What do you have in your house? That's what Elijah says to her. What do you have in your house? And she says, well, all I have in the whole world is this little bottle of oil, a little bottle of oil. So then he gives her instructions. Praise the Lord. And let's read 2 Kings 4, 3, 4, and 5. Here we go. Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. In other words, don't limit God. Did you hear that? Don't limit God. Get as many as you can. All righty? So don't ask for just a few. Then go outside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Praise the Lord. So next one, verse 5, she left and she shut the door behind her and her sons, and she brought the jars. And she brought the jars to her, and they kept pouring and pouring. And when the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. Like, this is awesome, man. It's working. Bring me another one, right? Bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. So you know what I like about this? When the jars, she ran out of jars, that was her expectancy. Her expectancy had to do with those jars. And when the oil stopped flowing, she ran out of jars and the oil stopped flowing. What she expected was just a few jars and then the oil stopped flowing. All right? And I'm sitting here thinking, let me read verse 7. I'm getting my head of myself. Here we go. Verse 7. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay for your debt. You and your sons can live on that. So I'm sitting here thinking. She went all around. She got as many to her neighbors and got a bunch of jars, and she's filling them. And she's like, man, this is cool, and realizes she doesn't have any more jars. So she's like, come on, get me some more jars. Well, as soon as she ran out of jars, the oil. What would happen if she had 20 more jars? What would happen if she had 30 more jars? She'd be pouring. Matter of fact, she would have a higher level to live. And this is mine. She'd be blessed to be a blessing. Some people, you know, people criticize the faith message. You know, you're just greedy for money. No. I want a whole bunch. Give me yours if you don't like it, so I can be a blessing. I love blessing people. I know a bunch of you. You're blessers. So what would she have had if she had a whole bunch more? Maybe her level would be higher, okay? Expect God's best. Expect God to rewrite your story, okay? Believe the word for your situation. Believe God's promises and decree them. And expect God to bless your life. Expect God to put a new road in your life. Expect God to put rivers in your life. But expect God to rewrite. So I'm trying to think how we should close. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How about bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm looking at the time. You don't care. Okay. You know, you could be in this room, and if you're a student and you're thinking, man, I'm never going to get through school, or maybe you're applying through, first school. I don't know if I'm going to get in, or you're looking for a different career. What you need to do is, number one, listen to last week's message. Okay? Listen to last week's message, and because what you need to do is change what you say. Number one, change what you say. Change what you say. Change what you're saying. Say what God says, all right? And then you have to say what God says. And then you have to expect or believe what God says is going to happen. And then you're going to have God be able to rewrite some stories in your life. But Father God, I thank you for everybody. I think these are fantastic people. These are your kids. They're amazing. I thank you, Father, that they're anointed. I thank you, Father, that you want to rewrite their stories in their life, every situation in your life, in their life. Praise God. You know, keep your heads down for a second. I just believe that God's speaking to people through the words that I spoke, or better yet, through those stories and through those scriptures. And he's telling you, I love you. I see the wilderness, and I see the dry place, and I want to rewrite that story for you. Just get really quiet. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Man, some of you are going to go, you're going to have one of those aha moments, like, yes, Lord. Uh-huh, I hear that. I hear the step that you're telling me to do. Yes, Lord, I'll take that step so that you can rewrite my story. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Some of you maybe are the Lord's talking to you about your job or your business or your position. And he wants to rewrite your story. He wants to put a road in there in your job or your business or something like that. And just ask him, Lord, what's my part? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you if you get quiet. So let's just get quiet for a second. Let him just minister to you. Praise God. And you know, the really cool thing is that God desires to have oil flow in your life. He's a good, good God. He wants to bring you higher places so you can be blessed and be a blessing. So Father, I thank you. I thank you for the people in this place. I thank you, Father, that you have opened eyes. You have dropped words of encouragement. You brought light to their life, Father, and I thank you that we hear your voice and we will respond to it and make changes. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, while you're still just eyes closed and we're just in the throne room of God, just hanging out with God, just hanging, just chilling with him, letting him talk to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you speak to people's hearts. I thank you. Praise God. And I have one more thing just to ask. If you're here, and I just, you know, probably about 40 years ago, I heard that there was a Savior that loved me in my wilderness and desert place. And I cried on his name. I called out on him. I said, Jesus, I need you. And man, 40 years ago, my life changed. And the first thing that I noticed, and maybe the people around me didn't, but it was obvious to me that there was peace in my life. There was peace in my life. And from that point on, my life started to change. My life started to change. And maybe you're here, and I just want to ask you, have you ever asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior? Can you remember a time when you said, Jesus, you're the Savior, and I ask you to be mine. I ask you to come into my life. If you're here and you can say, Pastor D, I don't remember ever doing that, but I believe, I know that today, I'd like to ask Jesus to be my Savior. And I always say this, we're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking if you were raised in church, raised in a Christian home. We're not asking if you were sprinkled or dunked. I'm asking, have you ever asked Jesus to be your Savior? Because when you do, those that call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you. He'll change you. He'll start rewriting your story. So is there anybody here just want to raise your hand and say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? Pray for me. I want this in my life. I want Jesus in my life. Or maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor D, I prayed that, but I have been on a left turn away from God. And I just, I'm tired of being in these places where it's dry, and I want to come back. I just want to get that fellowship right. If there's anybody here, you've just kind of just took a left turn and you want to bring God back in your life, if you raise your hand, we'll pray for you too. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, you can look at me because nobody raised their hand. Okay, so you know what that means? You're family of God. You're the family of God. This is a big family. Okay. But I just really, my heart, would you continue to pray, God, your heart is that none would perish, none would be forever separated. God, make that so big in my heart that I look at people and I am drawn to them. I will be used by you. All right? And if you pray that prayer, I want to tell you, your life will be so exciting. You will just go, Pastor D, you can't believe what happened this week. Can't believe what happened this week. I prayed that prayer and I saw this person and I decided to say, oh, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. I like Sherry told a story a couple weeks ago. So this person was crying. Just went right up to them and said, you look a little upset. Can I help you? Guys, they're all over. The people are all over that need to know who God is and his son. And you're the answer. Praise God. Okay.